woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
Hello, everyone. Pace Action Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Jay-Z on the board 3 days in a row, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. S&P futures down 5.25. Dow futures up down 34. NASDAQ futures down 14. Unless, at least you didn't go to a Cubs game yesterday, they were called off again.
Oh, yeah, I would have been upset, but it's okay because I live like a block away, so yes. It wouldn't have been too far of a hike.
Oil up 30 cents, 68.77. Wow, 10-year yield, 2.89. Creep, heading towards that 3 number with the shorter loans, the 2 and 5 year, are creeping up, too, so the yield curve is getting pretty flat. Lou, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
Anything good happening in Colorado? I hope the weather's there better than here. Are the ski resorts all closed, or what's going on with that?
I think this is the last weekend, but it's going to be 75 here today. It will be up in the 40s up at one of my favorite ski areas, which is the Frisco Dillon ski complex there, Breckenridge, Keystone, A-Basin, Copper Mountain.
Did you ever go to that place?
They've had about 14 inches of snow over the last 3 days. So,
good for them. Did you ever go to that place that Carl Denninger went? It's like it's in Southern Colorado. It's east of Telluride. What's the name of the place? Whistler or something. Was it
Whistler's in British Columbia?
Well, it would look pretty nice. And he was it's maybe 150 miles east of Telluride in Southern Colorado.
Well, that's pretty. Pretty far east of Telluride.
Maybe 100 miles. It's not like one road that goes from somewhere to somewhere, Denver to someplace.
Yeah, there's Monarch, and then there's Crested Butte. Those are the ones east of Telluride, out in that area. I've skied Monarch, but not Crested Butte. Maybe next year. But yeah, the ski areas are about to close down. This will be their last weekend in that area. Interestingly enough, of those ski areas, that's not driven by weather, but rather by animal breeding. That's all on Forest Service land. And the Forest Service basically tells them when they have to shut down so they're not interfering with animal migration patterns. And
well, they run a certain number of days, right? Isn't that the deal? Name me the one ski resort that's on private property.
The one that I'm aware of is Arapahoe Basin, because that's the one that stays open until mid-June.
Really, I thought the only one was Deer Valley, the one in Utah.
That is on private land, but A Basin here will stay open until mid-June, until the snow runs out.
See, you got me. It makes two. Because those guys, that was a mining company, owned that whole mountain, and they bought it from them, I think. It's not Forest Service.
I'm sure that A Basin is a mine. I mean, all these little towns up here started as mining towns. In fact, they were literally panning for gold. They were sluice mining operations where they would run a dredge down through the rivers, little rivers and streams that flow through here, and then dredge up the silt and sediment, and then pan that or circulate that for gold.
Well, some of the towns, Breckenridge was they were in danger of being wiped off the map because they were down like 100 people right before this built the ski resort.
That sounds right. I look at the little town now and I compare it to what it was when I was here in the 1970s when you know I was in college out here, and it's hilarious what they've done. You know, when the resorts were built there, the ski places were built there, it was viewed strictly as a winter destination. But now Breckenridge, Copper Mountain, especially Vail and Aspen, all of these are 24, you know, or 12 month a year places. The mountain, Breck's Mountain, now has, you know, an alpine slide on it that you can ride down the mountain. They run the gondolas. They do mountain biking. You know, you get on the gondola and ride the gondola or the chairlift up with your mountain bike. And then mountain bike down through the trails. Pretty interesting.
Well, the one it was I always liked to go. It was a few, 30 years ago. That was it was like that was Steamboat, because it's a lot lower, the base, and it's actually in the middle of a big ranching community. So in the summer, it was a real town. It wasn't just the resort helped them out in the wintertime, and you could go and do the biking, and there were golf courses and all that stuff. You're not going to find a golf course in Breckenridge, I don't think, or maybe you do now. But
there's a golf course down there. But Steamboat Springs was a health spa before it was a ski resort.
Well, plus the railroad's there, and you've got there's stuff there. Railroad being one of them. So there's a lot of ranches around there. So there was a reason for the town to be there other than the ski resort. Let's put it that way. But anyway,
right. But they still got to draw the people in it. I wonder, and I haven't seen any stats on this. I'm sure they're instantly available. But I don't know what the status of the ski industry is. Whether more people are skiing now or snowboarding or less.
I'm thinking.
I have to think, given the population is aging a little bit, that it's probably fewer people.
I'm thinking it is too.
Yeah, but I mean, there are two things that I love seeing up there, in addition to the mountains. The first is that, you know, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds on skis.
Oh yeah, it's a riot.
Are about the cutest things you've ever seen in your
especially
life.
Especially since they're way better than I am. Which is
yeah,
even better.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then the second thing is the 70- and 80-year-olds on skis.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm more partial to the 70- and 80-year-olds. I think that's a bigger deal since I'm getting in that direction, but. One of the things that I hope to do, I mean, is to ski well into my 70s.
Well, I'm hoping to go next year.
You don't have to kill yourself doing it.
No.
And it now that I'm out here, it's something I'm able to actually do.
Well, quick story.
Times to get some practice.
Quick story. I promise. I was out skiing with my significant other, and you know how dealing sometimes with the female of the species. She never could get to the point, even though I became a pretty decent skier, but she could look at a run and say, you know, like in the chairlift, and say, well, I can do it or I can't do it, you know, type of thing. So she's constantly looking at the sign. Is it a blue or is it a black?
Sure.
And I'm explaining it to her. I said, oh, if you get a black one that's been groomed, sometimes they're easier than the blue one that isn't, that's choppy. So we get on this the face of Steamboat, which is a blue run, but it's the toughest blue run I think I've ever been on. That's the run that they do the World Cup downhills on, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
pretty steep.
It's a Warren Miller blue.
Yeah. So we go down, and then there's this black run that I really like. It's lower down on the mountain, and nobody ever takes it. So whenever you go on it, you're always on it by yourself, called Ted's Ridge. I come on, let's do this. And so I head down, and all of a sudden she heads down, turns back, looks at the sign, and the sign says black. Immediately panics, falls, and like skids on her skis about 100 yards to where she's at the edge of the slope, not into the canyon or anything, and she's kind of off the edge. Of course, I'm down too far to help her, so imagine that. She's pissed at me because I brought her on a black run. Well, yeah. these two old guys go and save her, essentially, and pull her up. And so she starts talking to them. We end up an hour later in the bar with these two guys. You know what, Lou? Sometimes I have some decent powers of whatever. They got the ruddy faces and they got the unmistakable talk of two guys from Ohio. And one guy's 74 and the other guy's 72. Their wives didn't like the skis, so every winter they would take, it's over 65, your lift tickets are half price, who knows, but they would start in, up in like Jackson Hole or someplace, come all the way down that the divide to the bottom to where they ended up, like, at, you know, what's down by in New Mexico, what's the name of that place?
Santa Fe or Ruidoso is actually the southernmost ski area in the United States.
Well, they'd spend like 3 weeks doing that, and then they'd cross over to California and come up California on the California side and drive back to Ohio. Of course, one of the guys was a coach for Woody Hayes. He looked just like a guy who would have been a coach for Woody Hayes. He had the voice. The other dude, you'd have loved him, Lou. Plus, the guy's almost as big as me. And he says to me, yeah, I was a bomber pilot in World War II. I said, really? And this was a while ago, because the guy was, you know, now old guys would be 90. And I said, really, how'd you become a bomber pilot? He goes, well, I went to fighter pilot school, did all the stuff in the classroom. I went to get in a plane I couldn't fit in, and said, you're going to be a bomber pilot. And
yeah, so pretty much the way it works.
And he goes on his first, he goes, my first bomber run into Germany, I came back and they shot out so much of the thing in B-17 that we had a ditch in the channel, and we got rescued. And I said, well, what did that do? He goes, nothing. I still had to do 44 more flights.
even though
the first one didn't make it back. But I mean, talk about a guy. I mean, steady hands, Lou. Guy was in terrific shape. You could just see this guy being a World War II, bomber pilot, for God's sake.
Oh yeah, no, I mean it's. I love talking to people on the lifts, and you get, you know, especially they've got, you know, six person chairlifts and stuff, and you get on there and chat with people, and it's astounding what you run into there. I have yet to be at Breckenridge, which is a huge ski area. They've got four mountains, five mountains now. I've yet to be on the chair at Breckenridge over the course of a day where I don't talk to somebody from Europe who has come here to ski, and I ask them, you know, you guys have the Alps, you know, the Apennines. I mean, what's going down here? Why are you here? And invariably, they tell me that even with airfare and hotel included, because they get package deals coming from over there, it's so much cheaper to ski in the United States that this is just a better deal. So they'll fly from Europe to Colorado to come ski.
Well, evidently the places in New England.
Plus our terrain is different. And he said, and people here ski differently. He goes, you know, in Europe, you know, you might get five or six runs in a day because people stop and there are restaurants all up and down the slope. And people, you know, for example, you go into Switzerland and ski in Zermatt. You ski on the Matterhorn. You know, you look around. You take pictures. You say, "Hey, we're on the Matterhorn." Then you ski into Italy. Then you ski down into Italy, and you have lunch, and you have some wine, and you ride the gondola back up. He goes, "Here, it's come down to the bottom of the hill, get on the chairlift, go back up the hill as fast as you can, and come down again." And he said, "Yeah, you know, we get twice as many runs in here, and it's just a better all around ski experience." I was fascinated by that. I'm trying to imagine how
they're big
in Europe, given how expensive it is here.
Dr. J just was back. He went 2 years ago, and he said the prices in Italy are a third of what they are here. The places are gorgeous.
Well, I don't know where he's skiing. That's good. That's good for him. The Vail Resorts, which manages Breckenridge and Vail and Keystone and a bunch of other places, Crested Butte, just did a deal for people who are retired military, because the guy who founded Breckenridge was a 10th Mountain Division soldier for World War II. The entire resort group, and that includes Whistler in British Columbia, just issued a deal where I can buy a one-year pass for $99 that goes to any of those resorts and is unlimited.
Well, there's, I think, the place here.
Yeah, Wilmot
Mountain, I think, is where it is.
Wilmot is part of that. And not that I would go ski at Wilmot now, but
well, you're too much of a big shot. I would go there. I would go there a couple of times just to warm up if I was going out west.
It's so funny. I went back. I've skied Wilmot twice, both times after being in Colorado, and I took one of my kids out there to ski after we'd been in Colorado, and we made like four runs down there, and basically he said, we're not doing this.
No. Well, I'm not. I was never that good. I'm not like Dr. J and some of these other guys. But when I went to Devil's Head, somebody took me after going twice a year out to Colorado. I never made a turn. I just went straight down.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lou, I got a question for you. I mean, I have a lot of questions here this morning because we had things to talk about in the world.
Let's talk about airplanes exploding at some point.
Yeah. Hey, real quick though, what is the difference if somebody accepts a pardon, are you saying you did it?
No.
I thought that was the deal.
No, in fact, that's why that's what a pardon does, is it wipes out the at least a presidential pardon wipes out the conviction. You can truthfully testify at that point that you were never convicted.
Well, how come a couple of people have declined pardons? I thought that they had to admit guilt to get a pardon or something.
That's a moral decision, you know. I'm not going to accept a pardon because I never did it anyway. I don't need to be pardoned. I understand that mentality.
Okay.
But there's no requirement that you recant or anything else, or that you apologize or anything else. Now, I mean, if you're an unrepentant murderer, that probably lessens your chance for getting a pardon.
I would say yeah.
Although, some of the people Bill Clinton pardoned were unrepentant. Major criminals, Mark Rich, for example, it's not a requirement for presidential pardon.
Without casting any political aspersions here,
that by the way, that pardon should have been issued by George Bush. That guy was not guilty.
I would agree with that. My question is, why is, and I am no fan, okay, but having watched, because we were doing the show and everything, and people were calling in about it, having watched more than an interested observer, the Blagojevich debacle, the two trials, and how they basically hung the juror in effigy, put her name out there, and tainted the next jury, in my opinion. Why is this guy getting no traction? Why does he have to spend this whole 14 years? Nobody does 14 years for not taking a dime.
I don't know. I thought that penalty was excessive, and I still think it's excessive, and the listeners will know I'm not a Rod Blagojevich fan, but I thought the penalty was excessive. I thought that it should have been reduced. They were making an example out of him, and he, in some respects, Chief, he's his own worst enemy.
Oh, I understand that. But just the part about the jury, though, Lou, I'm sure this happens, I just don't know. Is that, publicly, has that ever happened before, where you drain the guys, essentially, defense nest egg in the first one, and then it's a hung jury. You out the juror that voted against what you did, and then you have another jury in the same town. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No, it happens. This is the nightmare, in my opinion, of federal prosecutions, where, you know, the power of the state. If the federal prosecutor decides, the U.S. attorney decides they want you, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
And they've got as many lawyers as they need to throw at you. And this is why the power of the state in these kinds of cases is one of the reasons why I don't trust the government.
Well, I'm right with you with that, buddy.
And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to impugn the motives of the vast majority of people who do this. But if you want to see miscarriages of justice, go back and look at some of these federal prosecutions. Ted Stevens, you know, where they literally...
Don't they win 95% of their trials?
Pardon me?
Don't they win 95% of the trials?
I think it's probably slightly higher than that.
How does it get higher than 95%? I mean they basically, they have you totally surrounded, and they'll drain you till you don't have any money. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is. I would just tell the listeners, look at the Ted Stevens case, look at the Cleveland Bundy case. And I think Mr. Bundy probably, you know, was guilty of violating the law. He stands off with federal agents, but they're so dishonest in the way that they prosecuted the case that a doggone Obama appointed judge goes, I'm declaring a mistrial, or I'm declaring him not guilty, and you're not going to be able to try him again because your conduct was so awful in this case. This is the kind of stuff, and this is what makes me nervous about this whole collusion issue between the FBI and Department of Justice attorneys, and boy, when all of that comes together against you, you have real trouble, and it's one of the reasons why the president is the way he is with DOJ and these officials, and seeing these emails coming out and seeing the interlock between the Democratic Party and high level FBI officials, you know. Again, at some point, when you see that much smoke, there's there's a fire.
Well, look, when you I've had discussions with a couple of you other right wing types on this. The thing that gets me is I don't know where to draw the line. I refuse to believe it's all one way. But
it isn't.
But somehow or another, you know, we have a trust. Maybe we shouldn't have. Maybe I've watched too much TV. We have a trust that even if the policeman's wife is working for, now I'm not talking about Chicago policemen because I think we had some issues there, but even if the policeman's wife is running for dog catcher as a Republican or a Democrat, you have the trust that for the 8 hours the guy or lady is a policeman, they can do their job without regards to the politics and other stuff. And I know it's hard for people. I mean, your doctor, even if he hates your politics, is not going to give you the wrong prescription on purpose. For the second you're in there, he's going to treat you like he's supposed to treat you. I mean, there's a certain faith you have in these things. I mean, a lot of priests, I'm sure, do confessional for people they can't stand. Right? And for the 20 minutes the guy's in there, or lady's in there, they forget about that and do their job. I mean, if you rip that away, if every single time hopefully there aren't too many more, there's an investigation into a president, you can't just say every single FBI agent who's anybody in his family is a Democrat needs to recuse themselves. Lou, we can't go there.
I agree. I absolutely agree. On the other hand, the people who believe in implicit bias, and that's your communist friends on the left, the people who believe in implicit bias and who believe that decisions are irretrievably tainted by racism and sexism that we don't even know about, are perfectly willing to accept the idea that somebody who is a lifelong Democrat or whose spouse is a Democrat or whatever, they're perfectly willing to accept that that person can continue to make decisions as a government agent.
I would never accuse you of this, Lou, or Kevin, because you know I've learned more from you guys. But once in a while I run into... Real, I mean, you know, in this area here, I don't run into too many total on the left nut jobs. I know they're out there. I mean, I know they're there.
Just walk over to the University of Chicago or
okay.
Chicago
well,
State
I'm saying is,
or Northeast Illinois University.
But I do once in a while, and I'll see totally to the right nut jobs more often. But when you see the two of them, it's amazing to me how much they have in common.
Well,
and the fact that they both hate the other side, they both refuse to listen, they both, I mean, in terms of their behavior, they're very similar.
Yeah, the difference is I think that unfortunately there's a lot more people on the left, at least these days. Let me put it this way: they show up more. There's a lot more people on the left than there are on the alt right.
You know, if you're in the neighborhood where I am here, within a business community, it's totally the opposite.
Yeah, well the. This goes back to something we talked about last week, the horseshoe theory of political science, where the extremes of the right and the left bend back so that they resemble each other at the end of the day. You know, what you end up with is fascism. You end up with guys who want to suppress people who want to suppress speech. They don't want to hear any dissenting views. They want the power of the state laid down to deal with these people. And with people who express different views, they become almost indistinguishable.
Well, I mean, if I talk to somebody on the left, far left, they look at me, even though I think I'm probably, you know, at least as much liberal, they look at me and okay, here's an old white guy from the South Side. He's probably a bigot. He doesn't like this person. Doesn't like that person. Nothing can be further than truth, Lou. And yet, I talk to people on the right. They absolutely can't stand the fact that somewhere they believe that somebody somewhere is getting their hard-earned nickel and taking money from them, and all the rest of the people want to do is take their hard-earned money that they drag themselves up. They're both are willing to judge the other person superficially and look at the entire... You can't tell that person, wait a minute, here's where your tax money really goes, and really a lot of what you call welfare goes to rich people as well as poor people. They don't want to hear the argument. The total left doesn't want to hear the argument. Every single person isn't bigoted against this, that, and the other thing, and it is. I mean, they don't get it. I mean, neither side gets it.
This is the great danger of identity politics, whether it's practiced by the right or the left. identity politics is simply a polite term for racism, sexism, misogyny, bigotry, whatever you want to call it. If you are practicing identity politics, if you are trying to drive those kinds of wedges, at its fundamental basis, it derives from a perception that people of a particular skin color or a particular gender or a particular whatever are all alike and all need to be suppressed. Yeah, that's the basis for it.
Well, yeah, I think somehow or another, you know, when you can say, and you probably will when I get done after the break, you'll say technology has always essentially run ahead of morality and the ability to deal with. I don't think that we have the ability right now to deal with all this social media crap and listen to people's words right when they come out of the can in the middle of the night. And people are too stupid to think before they talk. I mean, S&P futures down 250, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down 775. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, my name is Tyson Jackson. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Lou Michael. She's Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures down 3.25. Slight dip this morning, but not much. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 9.25. Oil up another 69 cents. 69.16. 10-year yield 2.89. Creep toward that 3%, maybe more. DAX down 8. Call that flat. FTSE up 18.25. CAC around up 9.2. So not much going on there. Over in Asia, a kneecap 32.1. Shanghai up 26.8. Hang Seng up 424, 1.4%. Those guys were down earlier in the week when nobody else was, so they've made that back. They've been all over the place, the Hang Seng. That was an interesting thing to trade the last couple of weeks. So oil up 68 cents, Brent up 86 cents. That spread is now $5.19. RBOB gas, 207. I'm going to have to get something other than a Suburban if that keeps up. We've got gold down $3, 1350 still, however. Silver with a big run yesterday, still over $17, 1720, down 4 cents. And before we do traffic, weather, sports, hey, Lou, I think we do a shout-out to lady pilot in the Southwest Air do a spectacular job with that plane, or what?
Well, she did all right. I mean,
all right.
I have X number. I have X number of my male pilot friends who have had engines blow up on them. And, you know, they bring the airplane down.
They're trained for this. I did hear something, and we'll talk about it after Jay-Z's report, that even though they're all trained for that, the way that thing kind of shredded apart, the drag from that engine is not something you would normally catch in the simulator.
The drag was worse.
Yeah.
But I think she did a great job flying the airplane, and I'm sorry. There's too much being made of this for.
Oh no, I'm just saying reasons. If it was a guy, I would say it was a good job. I'm saying it's a good job.
Yeah, no, she brought the airplane down. And I mean, quite frankly, the fact that there was mayhem in the cabin behind her doesn't really affect the way she's flying the airplane.
No, but hopefully not. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? Not much sports. It keeps it rained out, for God's sake.
I know, honestly. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Time's now 6:37. Chicago is surprisingly sunny today, which is a nice change. Humidity is at 90%, though, with a high of 46, low of 33. Phoenix is clear and 57. There's a high of 79 and low of 55. Baseball, Sox lost to Oakland again, 11-12. Cubs game was postponed. And the Giants beat the Diamondbacks, 4-3. In traffic, the express lanes on the Kennedy between Montrose and the Edens are still closed, stopping traffic, which has been, like, for 3 days. So I don't know what's going on there, but something bad, apparently. Accident on 83 in Ogden due to icy roads, and a blocked road due to an overturned vehicle on Roosevelt between 83 and York. Other than that, back to you.
Lou, interesting stuff. I mean, when people, obviously, they call in, and I don't give individual investment advice on the air, even though that's what I do for a living, but... and you see the economy, you know, whatever, for lack of a better term, picking up and seeing the earnings pretty good. It's hard to tell how much of that is concentration, how much of that is raised prices, how much of that is lower taxes, or how much of it's growth. It's probably some of each. But the thing that bothers the living bleep out of me is this constant debt load, individual, whatever. And it seems like whatever the growth is, it seems to me most of it, if not all of it, is borrowed money. And every president, and everybody talks about the similarities between presidents, and everybody, you couldn't find anybody to say there's
similarities between Trump and Obama. But you know what, Lou, if you look at long-term, Carl got me onto this, if you look at these long-term economic trends, sometimes on a piece of paper where you see a 30-year progression of whatever it is, people out of the workforce, taxation, debt, you name it, you look at a 30-year progression or 25, you can't even tell who's president and who wasn't. Now,
sure.
And one of the similarities between Obama and Trump, and I know all the right-wingers are ready to shoot the radio.
No, it's actually the progressives that are ready to shoot their radio with that comment.
Probably. Okay, so you get the... you see Obama went and got himself a guy. He had two guys. Three guys. No, I'll keep correcting myself. Larry Summers, who's the Nobel Prize winner. How the hell he got it, I have no idea. Works for the New York Times.
Krugman.
And then, what's his name? This kid who's down at Texas A&M. Big investor's kid. He's an economist. Basically told Obama, don't worry on deficits. Don't worry how much money you borrow. Just keep pouring money into the system. Even though, you know, people on radio, TV don't seem to think that there was any fiscal stimulus during Obama's era. Well, there was $1 trillion a year, for God's sake. It's okay as long as you get to the point where growth is 2.9% and the growth of debt is 2.89%, you're okay. If you extend the timeline out to the year 2025, like the song says, you'll be okay and don't worry about it. So he had essentially had his economic stooges with all the PhDs and stuff behind him that said, just keep go getting debt, pour money into the system, make people feel good while you're here, and don't worry about the next guy. So now enter Trump, who's going to change everything differently, and he's going to make sure all this is straightened out. He's going to drain the swamp. He's not doing anything like that. Now, he's got his stooges, Munchkin and a few of the other guys, Mnuchin. Now,
Mnuchin.
I see him on TV yesterday. The tax cut is for sure going to give us our 3% or more growth, and oh, by the way, in 5 years, we're actually going to save money by the tax cut. Lou, that's such a crack of BS. And yet, now, 3 years, 6 years from now, whatever it is, Trump will be out of there. The next guy, Democrat or Republican, they're going to do the same thing. And then you got Christine Lagarde coming on to say worldwide debt is at a maximum, despite all this alleged growth. We haven't paid back a penny. In fact, we're still borrowing. And she's real worried about it. I mean, it's not something you want to be running around today wringing your head saying, oh, God, you know, because of this debt, we should sell the market and go live under a rock. I mean, I'm not doing that, but, I mean, is there any point here where we're going to stop this and see if we actually really do have growth that's not all borrowed for?
I mean, one of the things that horrified me about that budget, in addition to the way it was passed, was the fact that we funded, you know, we ran the deficit up again.
Yeah.
I thought it was crazy. I think it's a terrible decision. I think it's long-term irresponsible. I don't think we're going to see the kind of growth, economic growth. I mean, China's economic growth might be able to put a dent in that kind of a budget deficit with tax revenue, but we're not going to grow like China. It goes back to this whole issue of the population at this stage is addicted to these kinds of spending sprees. When you start talking about cutting money, people get hysterical. You talk about cutting budgets. I mean, and maybe this is part of Trump's long-term plan, is to get the deficit to a point where it becomes intolerable, and then we'll have to deal with it. But the idea that you would say we're going to pass a tax cut and then we're just going to go on our merry way as if nothing happened is, I think, manifestly irresponsible. And I think he realizes it. You know, I mean, he complained about what he was presented by Paul Ryan. But the short answer is that if you come in and start chopping entitlement programs, and that's where most of this money is going, if you start chopping entitlement programs, people start screaming. And this flows directly back is something that you and I have talked about for years, and that's the labor force participation rate. You know, that thing has not really changed since Obama.
Right.
And part of the reason is people are getting enough benefits in terms of disability payments and AFTC payments and other kinds of income supplements that they are not hurting. And so they're not going to work. They're willing to take it.
Well, it's really a piece of...
I'm looking at that rate, and I say to myself, that's a marker of the fact that our entitlements are almost certainly too big.
I would agree, Liv. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. We got a couple of minutes, but because I want to talk, I want to talk to you about this at length today. We probably don't have that much time for it, but I'm really, as you know, I mean, you and Kevin argue with me and even gang up on me once in a while, but I never thought that you guys would lie, and I don't think anybody thinks I ever do. But I'm really getting, I'll say it, I'm getting pissed off that people that I pay continually lie. I mean, this thing with Comey or Trump, I don't know who's right. Lou, I wish I was a cockroach in the room. I mean, I think it says a lot negative about both of them, to be honest.
Well, never mind Trump. I mean, we knew Trump was pathological with respect to his relationship.
But I'm paying the guy's salary. I don't want him. I'm a simple guy, Lou. I don't want to. If I see you in a bar and you're lying, that's one thing. If I'm paying you, I don't want you to lie to me.
I hear you. I understand that within the requirements of statecraft, occasionally you have to do something.
I understand.
And I get
I understand.
It.
I understand.
You have to mislead. I understand that.
So
what
do I
do not understand is what's happening within the confines of something like the FBI, where you've got McCabe, who was the number two guy at Justice, coming out and basically accusing Jim Comey of falsehoods. I'm going, come on, guys, get your story straight. Why?
It's everywhere. You look at this Amazon situation, and I know I'm jumping up. There isn't a newscaster anywhere. When they talk about this taxation thing, I've never heard one person say that you're the one who's the crook, not Amazon. You know what, Illinois? If you get $600 more, you're supposed to send them the money monthly. But how do you leave that little piece out? That this is not a Amazon versus Supreme Court. It should make no difference to you whether they collect it or you send it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it, but
I never have, by the way, because I don't buy much business.
Remember this though, and with respect to the news media, anyway. First of all, they have their editors have an implicit, I think, an implicit bias or an explicit bias in favor of certain stories. Second of all, their job is to sell advertising.
Yep.
And so, unpleasant truths like this. You know, I could just see some editorial board going, we can't run a story that basically calls all of our readers crooks because they're engaged in tax avoidance or tax cheating. That's not the story we want. The story we want to run is the fact that big business is running amok and not paying its fair share.
Right.
Or not facilitating it. And that's the story that leads.
Well, hang on to that, Lou. SP Futures down 250, Dow Futures down 15, NASDAQ Futures down 10. A very slight break here. We've been up bunch of days in a row. Oil still, $69.45 is $70 oil in our future. It could be. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They're located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708 708- 408-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Fari Hamzy and Mr. Lou Michaels. Jay-Z on the board.
S&P futures down 3.
Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures down 11. Fari, I have one more legal question for Lou, then we'll shoot him off.
All right. Hi, Lou. How are you, sir? Good morning, Fari. I'm well. I hope you are too, sir.
Lou,
We're doing well. We did 86 miles per hour near Key West on jet skis. See, talk about need for speed. Go ahead, Chief. What's up?
Just a legal question, and I know we'll talk more about it next week. But I know our legal system in this, well, the British system, a lot of it is law, but a lot of it is case law. It's just developed over time. You see a lot of these. I've got this question because I'm watching the AT&T CEO going against the Department of Justice today, evidently, on that merger. And their whole bitch is, you've let everybody else basically combine. What about us? I mean, my question is, how do you? There's now pending combinations in insurance companies, hospitals, you name it,
and retailers and pharmacies.
Pharmacies and that kind of thing. If you allow, maybe foolishly, maybe not, maybe with all the best intentions, you let United get together with somebody to make this mega airline. And then, of course, you let the second one through. If it turns out, in retrospect, that this isn't a very good idea, do you then, the third group now feels that you have the obligation to let theirs go through? How do you say no at that point, even though you know somebody screwed up and the first couple shouldn't have gone through?
Well, first of all, the fact that you decide to enforce law against one group, unless you're doing it for some improper reason, the fact that you enforce the law against one group but not another is not a justification for them to avoid prosecuting you. And I think if you look at, we want consistency in our law enforcement, but the truth is that consistency is often hard to come by, and it's just a matter of whoever's in power at that point. This. Whether they're whatever they're going after Cohen for, with respect to his records, it's quite clear that the prosecutorial effort on behalf of this Justice Department, which appears to be opposed to the president, is significantly different than it was when they were investigating Hillary Clinton or the woman at the IRS or some of these other cases. And you look at that and go, what the heck is going on? Why the FBI is going after NC2A violations? You know, it's because the agent who was overseeing this decided this was something important to do.
Well, they did the same thing with the Board of Trade people
of
30 years ago.
Regulation in federal agencies, because you now are exposed to prosecutorial discretion.
They did the same thing in the Board of Trade 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And they walk in and all of a sudden these things become... But then you also get to the point where regulated industries, if you're regulated in some ways, your regulator is a protector between you and the Justice Department.
And in fact, that's the danger. Because in some cases, if you've got a prosecutor who says, you know what, I don't really care about these antitrust violations, I'm not going to worry about it too much. If it's a close call, so I'm not going to really sweat it too much. Versus a prosecutor who says, by God, I'm going to run for governor, so I'm going to hang out a couple of these companies to dry, because that'll help my election chance.
Real quick, Lou.
These are the kind of calculations that get made.
Yeah, I mean, real quick. I mean, there's a huge difference between even son of a policeman, but still, there's a huge difference between the NCAA. Is going to look at all these alleged payoffs and everything, because all they care about is the NCAA tournament and making money. I mean, but obviously the Justice Department's going to get in there and say, you did what? You gave this kid 20 grand? Nobody paid taxes on it? You didn't? What's going on here?
But the Justice Department, you look at that and say, okay, I get it. There's corruption in college sports. Don't you guys have other fish to fry?
I mean,
that's a small fish in terms of the things I'd like you to be frying.
I don't disagree with that, but it doesn't surprise me that once somebody from the outside looks at the situation, I would feel the same way once the exchanges, and I'll be real brief with this, once the exchanges started to compete with each other and competition was redefined, instead of like IBM being traded in the IBM pit, where the competition was a whole bunch of traders competing on the price of the options. But once you became exchange to exchange, and the way it is now, it became how much exchanges were to allow the firms to break the rules before they went after them. Mm-hmm. So if you were a Justice Department guy, you could walk in there and say, wait a minute, that's a felony. What are these guys doing? I mean, what kind of regulators you got here? The type of thing.
Exactly. But again, that goes back to the discretion. The more you have a situation where there are federal laws, the more complex the web of federal regulation and law is, the more you are subject to the whim of a prosecutor who could say, yeah, today I'm going to make this a felony and I'm going to go after these
right.
people.
Well, that's the total discretionary part about, it's like, 15 guys speeding. How do you pick the one you want to pull over?
There's a great, I can't remember who the comedian was, but he was talking about the fact, it may have been Dave, what's-his-face from South Florida, who wrote, nobody really knows what the speed limit is. The only person who knows what the speed limit is the police officer with the radar gun who's got the discretion to ticket you. And the speed limit is whatever he or she says it is that day.
Right. I don't disagree. Where in Canada, it's different. I mean, there's a certain common sense. You're driving in Toronto, and it's kilometers per hour. So say it's 100 kilometers per hour. They go, 115, $50 fine. 125, $200 fine. 135, lose your car. Very simple.
But if the officer decides that she's not going to enforce that day, that's not
true.
The speed limit.
I don't disagree. Lou, thank you very much, buddy. Have a good. Be careful skiing. You're not 15 anymore.
You guys take care out there.
All right, bud. Fari, how are you?
Hi there.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I am good at a peach. Everything is good. Look at Amazon.
Yeah, it's going right back up to the old highs, huh?
That shows you how much power Grumpino has to try to talk down a stock with 100 million prime customers, a lot of which get filled through U.S. Post Office. So much for Grumpino power. That's why I call the name of this show, Hello, Clarice.
Well,
Silence of the Lambs. What happened to the lambs? They're so quiet. All these voters, they can't do anything about it.
He's never going to let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, exactly. So we go along 1387 after he batters the stock and figured, you cannot hold down Jeff Bezos. The guy's a Princeton guy, went to engineering, tough kid, he knows his stuff, but he's very quiet. Let's see what happens. 2 days ago, uptick, uptick, and of course the schmuck that I am, okay, I sell it yesterday. Look where it is today.
Yeah, you know what? As my grandfather used to say, Frank, don't be afraid to leave a little something for the next guy.
No, but this is too much for the next guy.
Oh, a little too much?
Yeah.
It's more than...
I had six contracts on. Come on. They'll buy a new car for me.
I'm not admitting or denying. Here's the head.
And you know my cars are not simple cars. By the way, jet ski, first day, 74 miles an hour on the water. The guide says, I cannot keep up with you. I said, well, get out of the way. The second day, 86 miles an hour, near there, Key West.
Were you fishing at the same time? I hope you don't run into like a whale or something when this is
happening. No, it's on the Gulf side. You can't do it on the Atlantic side. Are you nuts?
Oh.
No, it's got to be on the Gulf side. So it's flat. You know what it happens to you at 86 miles an hour?
If you had a wave?
There's one little mistake. You're
going to
be hitting the water at that speed. It feels like concrete. You're done. And he told me, he says, listen, there's not going to be an ER for you. We won't even be able to get you anywhere. If something happens, you're done. I said, yeah, quiet. Get out of the way. All right, fine.
Fire, is this, are they talking
need
about
for speed.
Here's a headline. Is this headline talking about you? Alpha males hurt alpha. Hedge fund managers with high testosterone levels underperform. How the hell do they know that?
Well, some of them did. Yeah, some of them did. Yeah, well, you know. Well, remember, it's much easier to make some money on a small.
But unless you
go bigger, it's not that easy.
Unless you draw,
I'm a small guy.
Unless you draw somebody's blood, how do you know he's got high testosterone levels?
Who's asking me?
I said, unless you draw somebody's blood, how the hell do you know they got high testosterone?
My grandpa had nine wives. What does that tell you?
You're assuming, but yeah, it's probably true.
What do you mean I'm assuming? I knew he had nine wives.
I understand that. Why
you used to have name tags at the family reunions.
I didn't know
how many uncles or nieces and cousins I had. Are you kidding me?
Plus,
they were not in the same city, so he was very clever. He bought it was real estate. He bought a house for the woman there. Boom, next city. Boom, and guess what? The houses went up in value.
Were these women live together?
Pardon me?
Did they live together? They know each other?
No. Different places. No,
oh,
very
right.
Clever,
oh,
guy.
S&P futures down 275, down futures down 16.
Barry,
hold that thought, buddy. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tamari, Mr. Fari Hamzy of Hamzy Analytics. He's Jay Z. Jessica's Lucy on the board. SP Futures down 250. Dow Futures down 13. NASDAQ Futures down 775. Oil up a buck. Oil up a buck, Chuck. What do you think of that, Fari? 69.47. We got. South after Southside. $70 oil right on the horizon here, and maybe $3 a gallon gasoline, which is not good for a 42 gallon tank suburban guy like me. Ten-year yield moving back towards 3.
Well, why don't you get one of those Yugos or something? Why do you need to have a Suburban? Why do you have to be consumer that has to have everything?
Everything.
Why does it? You need so much comfort. What is wrong with you? Why can't you sacrifice a little bit?
I am. It's 18 years old.
Huh?
I am. It's 18 years old.
Didn't you vote for Sanders?
No.
I mean, Bernie Sanders, not Sanders. Bernie Sanders. Didn't you vote for Bernie Sanders?
No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, a lot of the people.
A lot of the students
in Chicago that were helping with the show did. They were big Bernie people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Let's talk about Amazon.
Yeah. I still have issues with this.
So what's going on with these 100 million Prime customers now?
Well,
notice they did not talk about it.
Anything that's free. I mean, if the people have found. I mean, I know this is going to hurt because you love the company. The guy has found a way for people to essentially cheat on their taxes through them, and now they have 100 million people that
they're not cheating on their taxes. They're charging them in the states that their fulfillment and sales tax is charged.
Individual people who do not pay taxes on something they buy out of state are all cheating on their taxes. Well, I mean,
Is the seller's obligation to collect them?
It is the person who buys the TV out of state. It's your responsibility to pay the state of Illinois sales tax on that item.
Okay. Is it practical to pursue the small guys? You don't have little.
That's another.
And the big guys, he just did a deal with Best Buy.
I didn't say.
He has a deal with Best Buy now on TVs.
I didn't say that I sent one in. Of course, I don't buy anything from Amazon, but. That I would be the first to go and do that, and
I buy my TVs from Best Buy myself.
Okay.
They give me good financing. I can see what I want. They're local, and if I need support, they deliver everything.
And I
can't get that from Amazon.
I understand that it's never going to happen because before Governor Rauner, whoever it is, issues a thing that says anybody who did $1,000 or more after on these guys last year were going after is probably going to find his wife's name right on the top of the list. So it's never going to happen. I get that part, but
You got to take several million people into jail. There's no room.
No, but what I'm saying, though,
or through court system.
I'm trying to be somewhat accurate, unlike my people on Comedy Central, as you say. It's not they don't want to insult anybody. The responsibility is yours. In the state of Illinois, if you buy more than whatever it is to where if you owe more than $600 on these use taxes, you have to file monthly, or supposed to file. Nobody knows what that form is. It's like the UT5. It's the use tax. I mean, if you have ever bought a car out of state or a truck, and you come in, the first thing they do is they say, "Well, did you pay sales tax out of state?" "Well, no, I didn't." "Okay, you're paying us."
Yeah.
But you know, with cars though, you can't. The city of Chicago and places can't charge tax on cars.
Well, in Florida, because they don't do income tax, there is a transfer tax for out of state cars, $500.
For me to
title. Don't get what the deal is. Yeah.
For me to title it down there.
If you get a title down there, it's $500 you pay, one time. Boom.
So if you move, well, a title here to get a title from Illinois, I mean, is $100+.
But you can't have a. But you don't have your thing changed, your license changed. Also, down here, there's no grace period. The moment they stop you, and you live down here, and they stop you, you get a ticket. There's no 60 days like Illinois grace period. Where you say, "I just moved, I'm getting settled, I'll go and change it." You got to do it, boom. I mean, your driver's license, I'm sorry. Your driver's license. So once the driver's license shows where you live, they say, "Wait a second, your license doesn't match the title of the car."
Sounds to me like sounds to me now. Right, nobody heard this from me. Sounds to me like you want two driver's licenses.
Oh, jeez, don't go there.
Just saying, you know.
You know what would happen to you in California if you had two driver's licenses?
What?
And now here's the problem: in California, they also provided California IDs, and some schmucks were dumb enough to put both of them in the same wallet. Okay. So when they pulled it out. It happened to a friend of a friend of a friend of mine, but it was just like a case study. I think he makes a left turn on Rodeo Drive. You can't do that. And on a red light. So the police, which is over there, is a Nazi operation. They get to him. He pulls out the wallet with two IDs in there. I mean, two framed at the edge. The edge all looked the same. But one was the ID, one was the driver's license. Oh, they tore apart his car. They had him on the curb sitting down, and they went through the car.
Why would you?
The guys notice this is an ID. This is not a driver's license.
Yeah, but what if
they wouldn't let him talk. They wouldn't let him talk.
I don't get the.
That's a Nazi operation.
But the state of Illinois lot driver's license is 4 years. I'm in Illinois. I go get one. I got 3 years and 9 months, and I say, you know what? I'm moving down. I'm moving in with Fari. I move down there, and I get a Florida license. What am I supposed to do? Burn my other one?
If he wants to come down, she can come down. Not you. She's blonde. Right. You're not.
Yeah, that's the truth. Well, I'm getting gray, though. Gray's blonde.
Pardon me?
Isn't gray blonde? Isn't it? It's not the same thing?
No.
Not the same thing? So, Fari, what?
You're wrong sex.
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
Yeah. That's not a filter. Yeah. We're very careful. As a matter of fact, Tico will say something to you.
Well, you absolutely, in this day and age.
That chick magnet.
In this day and age, you don't want to be an old white guy. I mean, it's.
There you go.
You're just. You're out. You're just out. Hey, what oil? How much further?
Oil, I think, remember 3 years ago, was it? Or 4 years ago, we made a call, Labor Day. It was at 96, and everybody laughed about it. Well, I think we've done the cycle. We're up to near 70 now,
yeah.
Right?
I have a big position for my clients in the XLE.
Okay.
Didn't do anything.
Go ahead. I'm trying to look at the OTF chart for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I didn't do... The thing did nothing for like a couple of years, and I'm not doing as well as all of a sudden it's marching and everybody's doing real well. I have absolutely Fari, never before in my lifetime have I been able to let something go up this much and not sold some call against it and not touching it. Every day it's like
you stayed long.
I stayed long. It's almost like I put my hands.
Problem.
I put my hands in cuffs. I admit to rolling the puts up. You know, I keep rolling the protection up, but that's okay. But I haven't, I've not sold calls. I'm so proud of myself. Because usually, if you're a trader, 3-4 days in your direction, you go, that's enough, let's sell some calls.
That's what happened with Amazon. I mean, the moment it crossed 1,500, we were ready to go, right? And so, we were 1,500, 1,520 spread. I posted on Twitter with a 1,387 entry. I mean, nobody would have thought back down there. As a matter of fact, they were saying, this is going to break down. Stuff that people were saying on Facebook to me, like, you're nuts. And I said, okay, we'll see. Boom. It goes 15. Now, this morning, you get up, it's 1556.
I have a question for you. For I have a serious question.
By the way, the lead contract. Let me talk about oil. You brought it up. I just brought the OTF server on. The OTF server, just so you know, it does the footprint of large players, and that's what really matters. The big players, the whales, the small guys, mom and pops, they don't move the market. The lead contract is M. I think we went lead 2 days ago.
Yep.
That's the June.
June.
We're on a buy as of, hold on. It went to a buy as of 6:30 yesterday. 6:30 in the morning. I think that's Eastern, is it? Yeah, Eastern time, 6:30, went to a buy. Beautiful run. Here's some targets you want to think about on the June contract, okay? The upper limit, which is what we call the B target, is 68.88. Are you with me?
Yep.
And we just broke, we're about 69 right now. Hold on. I'm reading it wrong. Hold on. 70.17. The upper limit is 70.70. So, and we just took out the first target, which was 68.88. We're trading 69.31. So next target, where we're going to get to overextended, is 70, let's say by the time we get there, 70 and a quarter. $70 and... hold on 1 second. This is changing. Remember, this is activities.
It's not going to go from a buy to a sell during your speech, or is it?
It's 70... I think 70.40. I'm sorry, what was the question again?
It's not going to go to a sale while you're talking, is it?
No. Oh, no. This is the footprint of the whale. No, there's activity. I said there's activity here. It triggers based on the block trades and frequency of those block trades.
So you
have to plot the chart differently. It's not actually, we have to request TradeStation to give us some features in there that we'll be able to do it.
All right, I have a follow-up.
Big DLL, couple of years of work.
I have a very serious follow-up question on what you were talking about, the big footprints. Yes. Do you notice?
It's what we call intelligent footprint.
Yes. Go okay. Ahead. Do your charts and so forth and the research you do? Do you notice a difference? What's the term I want to use? The phenomenon we're seeing in the last few years started with the Warren Buffetts, where you don't care if stocks are $1,200, $1,500, $2,000. You really don't want my pot trading it anyway. So a lot of it's held by your funds, both. ETFs and otherwise, and by hedge funds and things like that. Do you notice a difference in the behavior of, say, a $1,500 stock like Amazon, of which there's many now, and a $40 stock that is maybe has, instead of 2 million people holding it, might have 30 million people holding it, like the old AT&T?
The $40 stock is an orphanage.
No, what I'm saying is, it seems to me, and again, I don't have the...
And I think the only reason they're sitting down there, to be honest with you, probably have a dividend.
What I'm saying is...
holding it, the dividend check comes, but nobody cares about it. They're an orphanage.
Well, my point is, I think that the big stacks, like the Amazons of the world and like your price lines and those things, they seem to trade to me more like commodities, that they trend. When it starts to go up, everybody who's a hedge fund that owns them, everybody gets out of the way.
And the algo is just looking for offers and bids. Okay, if the offers are there, it's going to bid it and go. If the bids are coming in, it's going to sell into it.
Yeah, and I'm saying I think they behave a little differently.
Part of that is also because the market makers are running some of those algos. Okay, if the algos are not just run by the hedge funds or investors or what have you, or active, large players. No. Part of it is also is the market makers who now they have a lot of capital and a lot of know-how. Remember, the nature of market making has changed. Look at Cboe. That has changed. So now it's all capital-driven and computer-driven. So an extra juice they can make on the side is trade this thing and open it. There's a lot of offers. Okay, so I'm going to bid it. There's a lot of... if there's a lot of bids, I'm going to offer into it. So because it gets filled. There's activity there.
I'm saying there doesn't seem to me to be as many, I use the term, natural sellers... because there aren't as many holders at that price.
Bravo. Hello, Clarice.
Exactly. Well, if it all of a sudden starts to go the other way, there's no natural buyer.
It was orderly. Yeah. Right? That's why you have these huge swings. Have you noticed? We go up, for example, on NQ. Yes, it was happening often. We have an up market. It goes up 20 minutes at a clip of maybe 3, 2, 1, 5, whatever. clip every few minutes, and then one bar, you're down 40. Boom, just air pocket. I mean, 10 handles in 1 second. In one minute. 10 handles in 1 minute is absolutely a need almost for this thing to continue to kind of cleanse itself. 10 handles of an NQ in 1 minute, and so you're long, or also you hit this air pocket. You can't hold it.
So far,
you're going to have much wider as a non-algorithmic trader. You need a much wider tolerance for pain.
Or
you catch it at the very very bottom, but that's luck. You can't trade based on luck.
Well, I mean, so an individual. I actually had some guys on your favorite place, Comedy Central, talking about there's now no difference because, to a certain extent, the gentleman was correct. It used to be that if you traded odd lots, in other words, if you bought 10 shares of a stock like an Amazon now, that the market, that the industry would charge you an extra eighth on it, and you would pay, you know, minimum commission, which might be like a lot of money. Well, now it's the commission is way down, and you don't pay that extra on the trade itself. But it still makes it very, very difficult for anybody to hedge because an option is 100 shares. So if you want to buy a put option to protect your Amazon, well, you sort of can't. Well, you could, but if you buy 50 shares,
you can't do it.
No,
you're absolutely right. It's hedging. The small guy activity in the option is strictly a spec.
Yeah. Well, my concern is. When you have less players in these things, there needs to be a reason why Warren Buffett wants his stock trading $200,000. I mean, he obviously doesn't want; he only wants it to be in funds and in hedge funds. I mean, he doesn't want any individual people owning it. I mean, not like he would never admit to that. But if they own it and they bought it 30 years ago and they still have it, he's fine with that. But the last thing he wants is. I mean, and the question is why? It used to be people really wanted everybody to own stock. I mean, you wanted if you're AT&T, you wanted to be owned by everybody in the country because it helped you out politically, it helped you out everywhere. But now nobody seems to care. I mean, I don't know which is right. It's just a change.
I used to know head of his specialist in New York City. I think the guy retired. Ferguson, he's an Irish guy. Anyhow, I talked to him a couple of times when I visited the NYC floor. He says that Buffett calls it once a day, and all he's asking is what the spread. He calls in once a day, like clockwork. He never misses it, no matter where he is. And when he wants to know the spread, and he always bitches about the spread, that you're charging too much. And then his comments were, listen, you know, I'm lucky to trade 500 shares the whole day.
Back then,
whatever that was. It was 2000, 2001, 2002. 500 shares a day, that's it. Because the stock was so heavy. I don't know what they're trading now in volume, but he says, yeah, I don't make much. So I might have to make it on a larger spread.
Why don't you tell Warren to be you know, $30,000 bid at $30,000.05? I'll put it up there. If he wants to make the market.
Yeah, but it's $200,000 something now.
Whatever, I'm saying whatever it is. Warren, yeah. You want to make the market? Go ahead.
I mean, the damn thing is more the value of one share of Berkshire Hathaway, the A series. Okay, it's more than notional value of a Nasdaq for one NQ contract. It's just incredible.
Yeah, which you know.
No, actually, no. Almost
and no dividends.
30,000, yeah. It's about two contracts of Nasdaq. Can you believe that?
Yeah, and it's no dividends and no split. I mean, what's the point of that?
No, because you get it on capital appreciation.
Well, maybe.
There are a lot of old farts in that stock from years ago. That's what they want. Yeah, I have some friends from California days. These are Rolling Hills states, you know, rich neighborhoods, rich zip codes. They have some Berkshire. They don't want any splits. They don't want any dividends. They like the capital appreciation.
Well, they bought into the Kool-Aid.
And they also want Warren Buffett running it. They're scared to death what's going to happen after Warren.
Well, but things change. They had when he bought the what firm did he buy? Was it the Israeli drug? Whatever it was trading like, you know, my numbers. It was trading 50, and he paid 70 or something.
Okay.
And so they put this hedge fund guy on there, and they said, we understand, you know, of course, their CNBC is outraged that anybody could be going after Warren. Their biggest guest.
And that's a sacred cow.
Yeah, it's a sacred cow. So he goes, I invested in Berkshire Hathaway's when Warren Buffett, when somebody got in trouble and the stock was trading 50, that he could loan him money and get stock at 30. Nobody else could do that. Right. And he goes,
Anybody can pay 70 for a stock trade and 50. I don't need him to do that for me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And he's just another one of these guys that thinks he's smarter than everybody else, and he can pay 20% more than what the market tells you it's worth because he knows more. You know, he goes, I don't need him doing that for me. I can do that myself. I could have bought it at 50.
The great thing he did to me, he did, in my opinion, was throwing a lifeline to Goldman Sachs. That was a trade of a century in like January of 2009, before Obama was inaugurated. Yeah, that was just, or maybe was it late December? He just actually killed it. You know, he got preferred stock, he got a 10% dividend, and a conversion rate that was outrageous.
Well,
and the stock was at like 60.
But you have to be the only time you can do that, Fari, is if you're in a position to do that in a company that's going to be saved by the government. Because if not, you just pissed away a lot of money.
Of course. He knew most likely, I'm just guessing, given his connections, he most likely knew that already Goldman was saved by the activities
of... Right, that's exactly right.
What's the name of it?
I mean...
The guy who became Treasury Secretary.
Paulson.
Turbotim.
Paulson.
As the head of the Fed in that infamous meeting with the AIG, okay? So, because that stuff came out later. But then, in terms of discovery and all that. But he most likely knew that they were saved.
Yeah, they gave the money to AIG so they could pay Goldman. Right?
Save Goldman, yeah. And that meeting, Lloyd Bankman was sitting there. What was he doing there for?
Because
I need two more teammates to explain that to everybody.
That's why...
But then
that's why they're there. That's why you went...
If you're wired in early in life, you're wired in.
That's why you go to the right prep schools. That's why you go to the... You know, you go to Harvard, not because of the education.
We go where first?
The right prep schools, or the boarding schools, or what they call
them. Of course, it all goes through it. Look at what he called Mueller, St. Paul, then Princeton. Yeah.
If you want to read a book that let's put it this way, if you're a Southsider from Chicago, it makes you want to reach for the air sickness bag. Notice how I clean that up. Read Geithner's book.
Tim Geithner, yeah.
I mean, his first chapter or two. Has to do with his old man was a big shot someplace. Every time the kid essentially bleeped up in school, he'd get him a job clerking for like a senator for the summer.
Yeah.
And then or the Supreme Court.
Well,
it's like,
first of all, you have to be cross trained. Plus, you gotta get teamed up early on as a mentor.
Oh yeah.
That's what these things do. Yeah.
Let's see, Jay-Z, you went from all A's to all hooks. I'll fix you. I'll make you a Rauner's personal. personal assistant for the summer so you can learn something there. By the way, they'll pay you. Oh, okay, Dad. I'm sorry I bleeped up. Okay. I mean, and finally, at some point, he said, this isn't a bad do, right? And he actually got a couple grades. Yeah. I mean, yeah, whatever. It's just, well, that's...
Here's a question for you, since you're a very astute student of a market. What's the deal with ES? Why is it selling off here?
What's it doing?
S&P. Why is S&P just selling
off? We got a little bit of this chip manufacturer. It's got Apple and NVIDIA down some this morning. Besides, we're not down very much. We've been up how many points for 2 days? God, Ferry.
We're down seven handles.
Yeah, but give the tree a chance to, rest on its way to the sky.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
I'm not worried. I'm still long. I think here's my comments for your folks out there. This reminds me of, and I got to be careful in the wording, of early 2008 rally. I don't know if you remember that or not?
Yeah.
After went down, after Bear Stearns went down in May 17, whatever that timeline was, okay? And we rallied strong into mid-May. We're in that phase. I think the earnings are going to be very strong. Some people are going to have disappointment like Goldman Sachs or Morgan, not because the earnings were not strong, they were very strong. The whisper number was too high. It was priced in too much. So we have to really worry about something's overpriced here. But I do expect us to go to new highs by mid-May. And then I'm worried about it.
Well, how much...
Structurally, the analog chart showed.
One guy
yesterday was trying to tell me, I'd like to see that chart. I said, no, please. You do your thing, I do mine.
You're never
supposed
to...
For whatever it's worth, for 2 shekels. Here's my opinion. But it reminds you... And I want to say this. I'm not talking about the back end of 2008. I'm talking about early half. the first half of 2008 is a resemblance of that. You know, what happened in back of 2008, the second half, that was Glass-Steagall. That's the problem. Years of build-up and issues, all that. With Dodd-Frank and other stuff we have in place, plus you really don't have prop trading like it used to be. That's not going to happen. I'm not talking about that. No. But I think we'll have some easing off post-May, early June, so forth.
You're not supposed to answer a question with a question. We only got a minute here, but...
I'm a politician.
So. One thing... you might want to take note of, if you feel, I think you probably would agree on at least the bond side, that the Fed overdosing the economy with liquidity has caused some sort of an asset bubble in a few spots. Sure. If you believe that at all, this Fed, for whatever reason, look at these numbers, Farhi. 13 weeks previous, M2 increase only 2.4, 26 weeks 3.0, 52 weeks 4.0. For most of the time you're talking about, from 2008 to here, it's been 5, 6, 7, 8% pouring into a market, an economy that's not grown. And the M2 now is actually growing maybe even less than the economy. These guys are actually draining some of this out of here. It's a headwind for the market that not many people see yet.
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how...
Job numbers came up very soon.
All right, Farhi, we got a dash, buddy. Keep up the good work. S&P Futures down 5:30. It's Farhi Hamzy of Hamzy Analytics. Dow Futures down 34. NASDAQ Futures down 17. Leaking a little bit. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks, Mr. David Andelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for
for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Mouse. He's Jay-Z on the board with David Andelman as well. SP Futures leaking a little bit now. We're down 750. NASDAQ Futures down 22. Dow Futures down 49. Oil, which was up a buck, now is only up 78 cents, 69.25. 10-year yield, 2.897, just about. One more tick, it will be at 2.9. So we're having some inflationary movements here of some kind. And who knows where they'll last or not. DAX now down 34.3%. What's the up 8? Call that flat. Can't round up 4. Call that flat. Over in Asia, we've got rallies here. Nikkei up 32.1%. Shanghai up 26.8%. Hang Seng with a pretty reasonable move up 424, 1.4, because they were down earlier in the week when everybody else was up. So they're kind of all over the place. Oil up 76 cents, 69.23. Brent up 94 cents, 74.42. The spread is now $5.19. RBOB, 208, up a whole penny in the third today. I'm not sure I like that all that much. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everybody. The time's now 7:35. In Chicago's weather today, we are surprisingly sunny, with a high of 46, low of 33. Phoenix is currently clear and 57, high of 79 and low of 55. In baseball, the Sox lost to Oakland last night, 11-12, and the Cubs game was postponed, but they will play today because it's nice and sunny outside. The Giants beat the Diamondbacks, 4-3. In traffic, there's an accident on 83 in Ogden due to the icy roads, and Cermak is closed between Gardner and 17th due to multiple accidents. Lastly, 83 is closed between Midway Drive and the Stevenson Expressway. Back to you.
Sounds like a little slippery in the burbs.
A little bit.
Some slip here this morning when we came in.
Yeah, I was very slippery this morning, actually.
David, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Is this meant for you, this headline? Alpha males hurt alpha. Hedge fund managers with high testosterone underperform. How can that be a headline or anything?
I doubt it.
Yeah, how can that be a headline anywhere? I mean, how does anybody, unless you went and tested everybody, how the hell would you know, for God's sake? Anyway, very strange world we live in. We've got Amazon, Fari was crowing about all the way back to its highs. We've got oil stocks continuing to run up because oil keeps going up. We've had a little bit of movement up in the gold and the silver, more so in silver than gold for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason would be, David, but a little bit. And we've got IBM, whack, whack, whack. And as I put a bearish position on it, went down too far. I guess I should have just bought a put spread instead of trying to do a calendar. I gave myself $6.50 and it's down 11. Ouch.
Hard to gauge. You know, movements get big, 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 and then you'll see a compressed, you know, movement like we saw in the equity indexes yesterday. So it's, you know, I've been watching VIX very closely and the ETF, the VXX, and even when the stock market was breaking in the last half hour, the VXX wouldn't move, and then today it's the equity indexes are down marginally, and you have a 2% gain in the VXX. So it's really tough to gauge.
Well, you're seeing the panic mode, which could change, you know, an hour from now. The panic mode, and I mean, I don't, as you know, I options trader to the end. I look at the implied volatility and the actual straddle rather than the VIX. I mean, you can tell somebody if they tell you what the VIX is, I'm going to say, well, what's the straddle? And 2-3 weeks ago, when markets were going crazier than now, well, who knows? We get back to that. The straddle in the SPY at like 11 or 12 o'clock on expiration day, now we have expirations Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, would be like 240, which was a
essentially a 1% move, David, which we didn't have all of last year, did we? A 1% move, or if we did, it was like one or two of them. So
not
here,
too
here,
much when you yeah. had the VIX, you know, between 8 and 11 for the vast, vast majority
yeah.
of the year.
So, I mean, so essentially the market was pricing in the likelihood of a 1% move in 3 hours and it haven't been a day for a year. But now that straddle, if you looked at it yesterday at 11 or 12 o'clock, was still relatively high, but it was a dollar something.
Right.
So it had dropped by almost a third. Now, you and I have done the show 6 months ago, especially on maybe a summer Friday. We'd say, for God's sake, this thing's, we got a day to go, and it's 45 cents. I mean does everybody think we're already closed? I mean, and yet, that day we wouldn't go anywhere, David. I mean, you know, if you just bought them, you were basically saying, what am I doing? I mean, the moron selling them to me is a moron, but guess what? He's winning every week, and I'm losing. Maybe he's not a moron. Maybe I'm the moron. But we're back somewhat.
In the old futures days on the floor, they used to have a term for that. The moron would put more on.
Yes. Well, I mean, if it's a good one, you know, got a hunch, bet a bunch, as they used to say. I'm kind of surprised, but the actual daily move, we're not as concerned today, this week. Again, this doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Of the 400 point move as we were 2 weeks ago. That we're not talking about, you know, one, people aren't betting on 1% in 2 hours now. We're less than that. We're still high, but we're less than that.
Right.
Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't be up or down 500 a day, but.
Well, we've also brought the VIX down from 2021, which we saw, you know, a lot of times in February and the early part of March to, you know, 15.8.
Yeah, I mean, it's not 9, but it's not 21 either.
Right.
And, the oil price is running up. We're back up almost a dollar now, 97 cents. 10-year yield is just going through 2.9. I think the world might look a little differently if the 10-year rate, and where are we? We're in April. In July is, you know, 3.25, 3.30. I think we'll see a little bit of difference, David.
Yeah, and I don't disagree, but. You know, I like to often on the S&P 500, you know, use the flip, the earnings yield. So if you invert the PE, so let's say roughly, and you know, we don't know what earnings are going to be, but there's a pretty good consensus that we're going to be around 153 to 156, $153 to $156 in the S&P. So we're priced at about 17. So if you flip that and take 1 over 17, it's almost 6%. So even given 3%, you know, 3% 10-year note, even 3 1/8, which a lot of Fed governors and Fed presidents, you know, are targeting as the quote-unquote ultimate goal, 3 1/8.
They're not talking 10-year rate, though. They're talking daily rate when they're talking about the Fed funds. I mean, if we're going to get a 3.25 Fed funds rate, the 10-year rate is probably going to be 4.5, you know, depending on where the yield curve goes.
Okay, well, even so,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, you can compare the earnings yield to whatever debt instrument you want. But just say 3.25, say 4 even, 6 to 4 earnings yield to 10-year yield, 6 to 4 is still a 3 to 2 ratio. I'm not saying stocks are cheap, but I think it's, you know, they're justified. And if you take, let's just say for sake of argument, and I don't think we're going to have a 20 PE, I really don't, but, you know, because you got elections and whatever that may overwhelm, you know, all of the Washington craziness that's going on now. But let's just say for sake of argument that market would reward the earnings with a 20 PE, which is a 5% earnings yield, still giving, you know, stocks the advantage. 20 times 155 is 3,100 on the S&P 500. We're at 27. So it's hard to see. You know, it looks to me just like based on what the analysts say and what, you know, appears in front, that you have about 200 S&P points to the downside, 2,500, and 400 to the upside, 3,100. And somewhere in between is where truth lies.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, how much of the profits are, you know, what the quality of it is. Is it just tax drops? Is it just this? Is it?
No, a lot of it is due to the tax situation. No question.
Yeah, and
some estimated 30% to a third.
We're kind of the early stages of working through these kind of formulas. And I'm saying nobody, are you going to absolutely add that to the bottom line? I don't know, probably, but I don't know. We'll have to see on that, David. I mean,
right, and then will those be carried forward, especially if Congress, you know, changes, you know, the party makeup, you know, in fall? I don't know the answers to those.
I think I'm going on history here. Now, again, I'm going to say next year, if we don't grow as fast as these guys are touting, and we're talking about a deficit that runs over $1 trillion, even if it's Trump is, he should still be there. I'm saying it's not past the 4 year. I'm counting as how many years that is. Next year he would still be in office. I would just be his third year. I'm going to say there's going to be a drumbeat for some kind of tax increase. Either it's going to be tariffs or it's going to be a payroll tax increase in Social Security. It's going to be just like 1982. And there's going to be a tax increase. And so what you've poured into on the top end, you're going to take away on the bottom end. Because
it might be. I don't, again, you're the fundamentalist. I am not. I mean, CBO, you know, Congressional Budget Office, which tends to be, I think, often conservative and beyond, and, you know, but they're aggressive when it comes to calculating, you know, federal deficits and whatever. I mean, they're saying that, you know, we're going to grow 3.25%, and even if a quarter or two at 4%, which, again, I am not capable of ascertaining those kind of forecasts or discounting them or not. But if those forecasts are correct, a fair chunk of that deficit may be paid for.
The issue comes down to, and I'm not just criticizing governmental people or anybody that I happen to know or be on the show, because I would never do that, but as we start getting a little bit, I'm going to use the term, more normal inflation, because these guys keep pushing for it, when they start lobbing those numbers out there, David, when they say we're going to get a 4% growth, if we get a 4% growth with 4% inflation, we're back down to zero, right?
I agree.
It's not explained very well.
Because you and I have taken the raw numbers apart, and I think we have 4.5% inflation now. They just won't tell us.
Well, I was talking to somebody last week who has, unfortunately, a family member that's not doing so hot, and the MRIs are up to $7,500. It's a whole hospital here that'll go nameless. All right, 3 years ago, I think they were $5,000 or $5,500 or something. I mean, it's now there's growth, right? So if the hospital does 100 MRIs, they're going to do an awful lot more money than they did the year before. But is that really growth? I mean, we're going to start getting down to.
You know, some of those are negotiated. I mean, I talked, you know, back in 2010, no less, 8 years ago. You know, when I had my hip, you know, surgically done. I mean, 5 days, $153,000.
Yeah.
Then the surgeon, I saw his thing of the $153,000. The surgeon got $4,400.
Yeah.
But the rest was the hospital.
But I'm agreeing with you. But I'm saying if you see these top line numbers continuing to go up, the negotiation was probably the same as it was then. But I mean, we're talking, you know, some big numbers here. I mean, I know some people that are on certain prescription drugs that were telling me last night we were having, in the last 2 years, they were $300 a month, now they're $450. Now, maybe the pharmacy benefit manager, has got a little bit of a deal with the company, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, something's up 1.25%. Now maybe, and if you cut 20% off it, you're still up something. I mean,
it's much, much, much bigger than what they say. I always say, you know, between laptops, other than laptops and flat screen TVs, you show me one thing that's declined in price.
Well, who knows, one of these days when my jalopy gets too old, I'll probably buy something else. So yesterday, just to give myself a feel, last night I said, okay, I'm gonna go on and see just what a standard pickup costs. Well, not standard, it'd be a four-wheel drive. Guess what? With roll-down windows, no options. Now, of course, no options now means you still get cruise control, you still get air conditioning. Those have added in. You and I have talked about that. But what do you suppose a standard Chevy pick-me-up with a six-cylinder engine, roll-down windows, and everything else, the only option on the thing is a trailer hitch and four-wheel drive.
So they don't even give you a trailer hitch?
Well, no, well, you got to pay extra for it, sure. What do you think the number is?
I have no idea.
It's like $31,000. And I'm going to say 12 years ago.
If you dressed it up, it'd be $41,000.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, oh, God, if you got the crew cab and all the other stuff, I mean, I bet you could push 50. Easy.
Insane.
Easy. Now, I'm going to say that now a lot of the stuff, you know, and you can actually, if you want to, if you're willing to go through the work, which not many people do, and I don't necessarily like to, you can go on the labor statistics site, David. And if you dig enough, it'll say, actually, I haven't seen the Chevy one, but I found the F-150. And they will tell you, okay, from 2016 to 2017 model, the price of the pickup is up $800 or something, or $900, whatever the hell it is. And they will say, okay, but now you've added a rear backup camera that the ones before didn't for safety. Now that's now standard equipment. And I get it. The rear backup camera is, you know, $175. So out of the $800, they're gonna, and it might be something else. It might be the outdoor mirror or the outside mirrors are now heated where they weren't before. Okay, so now that's $50 or $100. So now out of the $800 that the thing is up, they're gonna take $275 out of that.
Right.
But the bottom line is, David, I mean, even though these are nicer, and I get what they're doing, and it's not like I'm arguing with them, but I'm saying, but at the end of the day, if you're buying a truck 10 years ago versus today, and you were paying 20 and now you're paying 30, I guess 4,000 of it is quality improvements, but you can't take them off. You're still buying transportation from place to place.
Here's another little anecdotal thing. I went last night with the kids and everything to this little local hamburger place that was taken over by National, Luby's Cafeterias. So they have scale, and they took over all these local places. The place is tiny in a little strip that is not expensive rent. I hadn't been there for two and a half years. In that time, and it's virtually all hamburger, a little chicken sandwich, but virtually all different styles of hamburgers. They were $4.50 2 years ago when raw cattle was $160 a hundredweight. Now raw cattle prices are $120 a hundredweight, so they've dropped 25%. That same hamburger on a slightly different bun, $4.50 2 years ago, $9
yep.
last night.
If you
$9,
I challenge
the
you.
Raw cost 25% less.
If you,
and scale, because it was private mom and pop, you know, 2 years ago. Now it's owned by a national.
I challenge you, David. Any place, if you, I mean, I don't go out that much, but I mean, Audrey and I, we usually go out on Saturday.
Fast food dive.
But what I'm saying is, I challenge you, any place from Pepe's Tacos to maybe the local bars are having trouble raising their stuff. But anywhere you go, I challenge you to find a restaurant that did not have a new menu come January of this year, and everything on it, I'm going to say virtually all the stuff on there is up a minimum 15%.
At least.
Every place you go. And if you talk to restaurant owners now, they will tell you that the entree for you to get anywhere, okay, the entree is got to be 4.5 to 5 times what it costs them. That's the markup. And I'm going to say 30 years ago, it was 2.5 to 3. So if you get yourself a matter of fact, this guy, you know, he's an Italian chef. He says that they get $22 for a plate of clam linguine. And he goes, that's my highest price thing because they use real clams. And he goes, it actually cost me almost $5 to put that plate out. So that one's only 4.5 to 1. So he really hopes you don't order that one because most of the other ones are 5. Like spaghetti and meatballs cost, you know, whatever, $3 and it's 18 or something.
It's totally scary. I mean,
don't worry. Our total inflation is 1.8.
Well, but the thing of it is, David, is that what's happened in the meantime is there have been some increases in wages, the minimum wage. But if you look at the property taxes in the place, the rent, the electricity, the gas, that's where the entire increase has been. You know, first turned me on to that was, it's amazing how I remember this stuff from odd people. On CNBC was the head of White Castle Hamburgers. And one of the ladies out of the blue asked the guy, what is your biggest fear in the food business? He goes, that's easy. My biggest fear, he goes, there's never been a bigger spread in what it costs you to eat out versus what it costs you to eat at home.
Right.
He goes, the spread is dramatic. And he goes, even in White Castle Hamburgers. I mean, if you went out and bought yourself a pound of burger and made 10 hamburgers at home with it, or how many, you wouldn't make 10, but you'd made 5 or 6. He goes, you're talking, you know, $3. He goes, you know, out it's going to cost you 25 or 30.
Right. No, I get it.
And you know, and there's reasons for that. You know, the property taxes and all the other stuff. He goes, but the fact is, it's quite a spread. I mean, I mean, I've always loved to go out to breakfast because I, as you know, I like to get up early, and so I'm telling you, you cannot find in the city, if two people go out to breakfast and get an omelet and a cup of coffee, if you're not pushing $35, you're in the wrong place. And yet, I also know that when I go to the Restaurant Depot and I buy a case of eggs, because I like to give them to everybody because I get them cheap there, it's $1.10 a dozen for jumbos or something. Now, that's a hell of a lot of omelets.
Right.
I mean,
I agree. I agree. I know the feeling well.
I mean, matter of fact, and they even know it in my neighborhood. There's a couple of, I won't call them dive places because they're not, but they're, you know, 24-hour breakfast joints. And now their shtick is, and on the weekends, every omelet's $12. But every other week, Monday through Thursday, the special for, like, quote, the regular people, not the uppies, everything on there, everything is $7 or $8. So it's almost like a $4 premium on weekends because we know we got the other people that have, I'm going to say, real jobs versus, I mean, we are becoming almost like a bifurcated society. I mean, I think one of the bifurcations, absolutely, David, are people who have their health insurance paid for versus people who don't.
No,
I've had, in the last 3 weeks, I don't know if I mentioned this, you know, on Monday, I've had 2 to 3 people tell me now that are between the ages of 55 and 65 buying their own health insurance, that between the monthly and the deductible, they're up $20,000 of their own money before the insurance company pays dime one. And they said, you know what, I'll take a run with that. Because I'll just make a bet this year I don't get cancer or I don't, you know, have a stroke or something. Everything else I can cover with $20,000 as high as I can go to the what do you call these new centers for the
acute Medicare.
You can go if I cut my finger doing the lawn, I'll go over there and I'll just go and have those guys. They'll sew it up and they'll charge me $200. I can do a lot of that for $20,000.
Right.
And you know what? If I end up, you know, so bad with cancer, I'll just croak. What's the difference? I mean, I'm not going to do chemo anyway. You know, I mean, $20,000 is a lot, David, to pay into someplace.
I get what you're saying.
I mean, these insurance companies, I mean, there's a reason why the guy from Metco left with $500 million. That's too much, but that, again, that's just me, and, you know, I don't think anybody's listening. So what do you make? We've had some pretty good moves. A few days, we've had the oil patch come flying back, David. XLE is, I've managed to keep my hands away from it. I haven't sold any calls, thank God. It goes up every day. Now, today I'll see if I can keep my mitts off it again. But I don't know. I mean, I'm reaching a point. How many more days in a row is it going to go up a dollar? Same way with this oil. Do you see a spot here, 70, 71?
They're getting a little extended. I mean, not grossly, but what worries me is the last 2 days to multi-year highs, the underlying oscillators, stochastics and relative strength are not making new highs. So there is, believe it or not, as dynamic as they look, the underlying technicals show some loss of momentum. So I would be a little cautious here. You know, up near $70, I think that's, you know, I don't put much faith in round numbers, but, you know, it's psychological, especially when not so many years ago we were at 26, 27.
Yeah.
So I think up towards $70 front month that, you know, warrants putting some short calls on against longs.
I'm thinking the same way. The thing that would make me pause even more is if this natural gas rallied at all, and it's not. It's just going, I mean, you look at these companies. Again, we have had some contributors to the show before that could rattle them off. I think Marathon's one is more oil than gas, and there's a few that are more oily than gassy. Clearly, those companies are going to do better because oil's running up and natural gas isn't moving. So if you're stuck in a spot in the Permian where you're pumping out natural gas, you're wondering what the rally's all about, right? I mean, because you're not going anywhere. So it's a lot of that combination in that industry. I wish we had somebody, David, that could tell us, you know, out of these 10 companies, oil companies, these five you want and these five you don't. But, you know, that's, it's Arbob Gas, 208. It was, what, $1.70-something 4 months ago?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, buy or sell. One word, David, buy or sell.
In what?
Everything. Mario, just buy tomorrow.
In everything? I think another $10 lower, I'd buy some gold, hedge some crude, 10 handles lower, I'd maybe buy some S&Ps, but just for a short-term play. 15 handles up, I would hedge some portfolios.
Good advice, buddy. Have a good one.
All right.
Again, S&P futures, we're down 750 now. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.